That's quite a heart's desire. I trust that's true. I trust that expresses your heart tonight. It's a good place to be this evening. My wife and I joke about it at home oftentimes. Sunday afternoons, let's just stay home. Let's just get some comfortable clothes on and let's just not go to church tonight. How would that be? You know, we're only kidding. It's a good place to be. The truth about our Lord, the songs that glorify Him, remind us of who we serve, what He has done for us. We don't have a lot of folks here on a Sunday night, I know that. But how thankful I am that we still have the freedom to meet without fear. And we still have folks that still want to come.
Amen.
And they don't just stay home on Sunday afternoon. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, that we could come tonight. The words of the song we just sang, how important they should be to each of us that know you as our own personal Savior. Father, that ought to be our heart's desire to be faithful to you. I was especially thinking in light of the testimony that had just been spoken. We live in a world that is changing daily. Standards are changing. Things that were once solid are being replaced. We thank you that we can come unto you and claim you as our Heavenly Father, knowing that you change not. And you can enable us through your Spirit to be faithful to you. I pray you would get the glory in these moments ahead. We look unto you. We trust that you'll be pleased. We thank you now in your name. I'm sure when I give Andrew the message title that you are going to think that Kim and I got our heads together and I said, Kim, why don't you stand up and give testimony about how, you know, things are changing. I assure you, we didn't. But Andrew, the title tonight is Some Things Never Change. How about that for a topic this evening? Would you like some encouragement? Would you like some truth from God's Word? I trust that will uplift your hearts. It is amazing. It's amazing. I often think, it's a good thing Jonathan isn't here to see all this stuff. One of the last things he told me before, when he was still conscious and talking, and Jonathan had made statements like this throughout his life, time and time again, he would say, boy, you know, this next year, it's really going to be some changes. There's really going to be some hard times coming. And the year would come and go, and, well, it one of the last conversations when Jonathan had his thoughts and processes, he said, the people of the United States are going to be facing some unbelievable things in the year 2020. He died in February of 2020. Our nation was locked down in March of February 20. We got a new president that was elected in November of 2020 and took office in January of 21. And we have witnessed changes in this country that I'd have never believed it if I hadn't lived to see it myself. Some of the things, the direction that our country has gone, laws that have been passed, things that have been standardized and shoved in people's face, and people are told, this is normal and you accept this. And you respond to this person this way, and I never believed it. It's a good thing Jonathan didn't have to be here to see all this malarkey that was going on. But you know, the truth is, he took Jonathan, but he's kept us here. And whether you like to believe it or not, in spite of all that we are seeing going on, it is God's will for your life and mine to be alive this very moment, to be experiencing these things. God could have had you born 200 years ago, but he had you born when you were born, to experience what we are experiencing. And sometimes our hearts cry out and we think, it's never been like this. It's never been so difficult. It's never been so hard. Don't let Satan fool you. God has put us here at this time, at this moment, with this set of circumstances around us. And what I want to encourage you this evening, we're going to look at this evening, and you're going to go home and you're going to say, I could have preached that. I could have come up with what the pastor said this evening. I could have stayed home. Well, guess what? I'm just going to share some truth from God's Word, and it's my prayer that God's Word will be just what each of us needs tonight. As we consider to realize that God's power and His ability have remained unchanged. A good place to start is with the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32. I'm going to just read verses and perhaps say very little about them and let God's word just speak to our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. That gets your attention from the get-go, doesn't it? Do you think this one is worth listening to? I am the Lord, Jehovah, I am the God of all. all flesh. That's not just here in the United States, beloved. That's around the world. No matter what kind of turmoil, and God is the God of all flesh. And the question he asks is there anything too hard for me? What do you think the answer to that is? Well, yeah, God, you can't stop that conflict in Russia against Ukraine. He can't. God, you can't do this. You can't do that. This is the God who simply said, let there be, and what happened? It was. Now, in case you're toying with, I wonder, is there anything too hard for him, or isn't it? Let your eyes back up 10 verses to verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is what? Say it. Nothing too hard for thee. Does that do your heart good? Say, well, Pastor, I knew that. I know we know it, but we need to be reminded of truth like that in times like these. Turn to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1. In verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. The context of Luke chapter 1 is Zacharias, who was ministering in the temple, and an angel spoke to him while he was ministering, and the angel said to him, Zacharias, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. Just imagine a little bit of conversation between Zacharias. I think Maya would have been too scared to even open my mouth, but well, that's not possible. My wife is barren, sir. Your wife is going to have a son. And this son has a special purpose in God's plan. Look at verse 37. It was after that, and after Zacharias got that word, that an angel appeared to a young lady by the name of Mary in the next verses, starts at verse 26. In the sixth month of what? Anybody know? Elizabeth's pregnancy with John. Huh. I thought she was barren. In her sixth month, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, guess what? You're going to have a son. Can't be. I haven't had any relations with a man with, notice here, verse 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And the angel told Mary, if the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, he's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Highest. And by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, whom you've known your whole life, is barren. She's in her sixth month, because with God, nothing is impossible. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Notice, it tells us, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Stop and think about that. Does God, as his eyes search the earth constantly, does he ever have his eyes fall on you because your heart is perfect, blameless toward him? It says the Lord is always looking. He's always looking for someone whose heart is right to allow God to do a mighty work. He looks to show himself strong in that one, the one whose heart is blameless toward him. Has God ever considered you? Has God ever considered you? When we think about some things never change, and the fact that God's power and his ability have remained unchanged, perhaps we find ourselves asking the question, how come God's not doing this? Or this, or this. How come God is allowing this, or this? Maybe here's part of the answer. Maybe he hasn't found anyone whose heart is blameless before him for him to do a work in. We have prayed for the hearts of the people of Hiawatha Bible Church for 6-8 years. What have we seen done? What have we seen accomplished? As we pray for hearts, in your mind, what are you praying for about a revival? How about a greater interest and less apathy in the hearts and lives of our people? How about growth? And we ask ourselves, we've prayed all these years for how come we're not seeing God doing remarkable things? We still see this conflict. We still see that problem. We still see this area in hearts and lives. Where's God? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for one whose heart is blameless so that he could show himself strong and use them and work in their hearts and lives. How about yours? First Samuel chapter 14. Saul was king over Israel. We find that the Philistines had gathered against the Israelites. And it tells us that it came to pass upon a day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." Their armies were situated one on one side of this valley, and we find that Jonathan said to the armor bearer, "Come on, let's go to the other side. Let's go engage the enemy." But he didn't tell his father. And it says here in verse 4, between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistine, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. And these rocks even had names. The forefront, verse 5, of the one was situated northward and the other one southward. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So many times we cry out, "We need more. We got to have more. I'm just one person. God couldn't use me." How many does God need? He's able to save with a few or many. The numbers do not matter to the Lord. It's the condition of the hearts. Because God is just as able and just as powerful as he has ever been. The story goes on. And Jonathan's suggestion was, why don't we show ourselves to the enemy and see what they say? If they say, we'll come to you, you Israelites, we'll stay put. But if they say, "Why don't you come on over here and let's talk a little bit," Jonathan said, "That's going to be the signal to know that God has given us the victory." So Jonathan and his armor bearer, they stood up, and the Philistines saw them, and they said, "Hey, you guys, come on over here," Jonathan said. And you know what they did? It tells us that they went forth, and which verse do I find here?
13.
It tells us in 13, Jonathan climbed upon his hands, his feet, his armor bearer, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Oh, wait a minute, who was getting killed here? It wasn't Jonathan and the armor bearer, because at that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, half an acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Our property, the parsonage, sits on just under 3/4 of an acre of ground. And this was even a smaller area than that. And do you see what God is able to do when he has hearts of someone who is willing to trust him? Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this, Lord. To those who have no might, what does he do?
He increases strength.
Doesn't that do your heart good? To stop it. You know, we're living in a world that it's falling, it's crumbling around us. There doesn't seem to be anything that you can count on or rely on in our world anymore. But guess what? We can count on our Lord. We can count on our God. What a great verse. He never faints. He never gets weary. Jerry and I find ourselves saying that more and more with the passing of years. We're tired. Anybody been there, done that? Yeah, here we are. But you know, the Lord never gets tired. And there's no searching of his understanding. He always knows how to handle the situation. Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. The first part of that verse just simply says this: For I am the Lord, I change not. In conjunction with that, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us this. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper.
Verse 8.
Yeah. So that we may say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And how can we say that? Because of verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. There is never any situation that we are going to face in our lives that God doesn't have the answer for, to help you and me face it, go through it, or deliver us from it. He knows how to care for us. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. See what I mean when I told you, you're going to look at these verses and you're going to say, I could have come up with these verses. I could have stayed home. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. I think John mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. This very prayer of Paul's. Paul talking to the Lord about that thorn in the flesh that the Lord had sent to keep him humble so that he wouldn't get big-headed over all the revelations he had given, the things he had seen. And so he was given this thorn in the flesh, and Paul said, I specifically asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. And in verse 8, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is all you need. Oh, that we might remember this the next time we are pouring our heart out. Oh, God, take this away. Oh, God, make this go away. The Lord said to Paul, you don't need me to take it away. I'll give you grace. And that'll be sufficient. When Paul realized that, because he said, my strength is made perfect, it really comes to the surface when you're weak. Paul said, when I realized that, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather, I'm going to glory in my infirmities rather than ask God to take them away, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If that's what God intends to do, Paul said, I came to say, bring it on, so that I can realize more of God's strength through his grace. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And in verse 6, he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's how I work, the Lord said. One final reference. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And we close with this on our hearts as we look at verse 33, not 13. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. What's your problem? What challenges are you facing? What needs do you have? Are you wondering how in the world you can face it? How you can make it? The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Our God is just as able as he has ever been. Don't forget that. Personalize that. Thank him for it. And count on it. Let's stand in closing prayer, okay? Mark, would you like to close our service in prayer, please, tonight?